Rokan Show right here on 720 WGN. All right, Kirk Lippold is joining us. He's been with us before. He is the former commander of the USS Cole, which was attacked by forces that are... I'm going to let the commander talk to us about this, because it's... There have been a lot of questions about who exactly it was over the years, and it initially was taken credit for by Al-Qaeda, right? Isn't that correct?
It is, and it has, in fact, been confirmed. It was an Al-Qaeda operation. It was initiated by a guy named al-Nashiri, who is currently in custody down in Guantanamo Bay, as well as Osama bin Laden. As a matter of fact, the attack on our A-Navy ship pulling into the port of Aden was discussed at that infamous Malaysia meeting where the final planning for 9/11 occurred.
So, and as part of the, because the Cole is rather infamous, right, in the world, you know, to that it was a marked target at the time that it pulled in by these terrorist groups, and obviously any major American installation, as we're seeing now, what happened in at the two bases last night, would be targets of it. But the Cole has a, we'll get into that in a little bit, but the Cole has a specific reason that they were interested in that. But let's talk about the Iranian situation, because obviously, Commander, you were very overly familiar with what goes on in that region. And what was your initial reaction when you heard that ballistic missiles, not just rockets, ballistic missiles were landing on U.S. bases?
The first thing I did is I thought, okay, well, game's on. And let's see what actually comes out of it for battle damage assessment as far as what it may have hit on the bases between Al-Asad Air Base and Erbil Air Base. But at the end of the day, it was more important to find out, were there any American casualties either killed or injured? Because that obviously is the red line with this president, that if you cross, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, or what country you're from. We are going to hold you accountable, and we are going to find you, and we're going to kill you.
So, at this point, do you think it's... I want to be careful how I ask this question, because there's a lot of politics to all of this now, right? I mean, everything's political, right, Commander? I mean, then there's reality, and then there's politics, and there's political reality, but... I suppose to me, it's very curious that number of ballistic missiles landed and there was no loss of life or serious injury. So what does that tell you?
Well, what it tells me is that I think this was a very calculated move for messaging reasons by the Iranian regime and the mullahs, to make sure that they could fire those missiles and have them land. Obviously, the type of missile they were flying, it's a ballistic missile. It is launched from a what they call a TEL, which is a not a vertical launch, but it's more like a road mobile. You set it up, and it fires at about a 45, 50-degree angle. The range on these things is about 150 to 180 miles. It carries 150 to 180-pound warhead. And at the end of the day, it's high explosive is what they shot at us. It is accurate within about 100 meters or a little over 100 yards. So put a dot in the middle, and anywhere within about a 100-yard circle is where this missile is going to land. So when you look at, a lot of people are saying, the accuracy of these missiles clearly indicates that they weren't trying to get us. But if you put a dot in the middle of the oil facilities that a similar missile hit in Saudi Arabia, anything could have been hit. When you look at the size of the airbase itself, I think that the Iranians clearly knew where the majority of U.S. forces were. They also knew where the majority of Iraqi forces were, and they specifically tried to target areas of the base that were close, but not going to be lethal, because they knew that there would have been an overwhelming response had U.S. forces been killed or injured.
So this is political on their, in your opinion, Commander. This is political. This is about appealing to their base back in Tehran or in Iran.
Absolutely, because if you look at it, they're already lying to their people, saying that they killed around 80 Americans and wounded hundreds. When in fact, we know that there were no Americans or Iraqis killed or injured. So it is clearly playing and manipulating the media for the sake of their population. It is messaging for them. They struck back at the great Satan. There was hard revenge, which they said was coming. They were checking all the blocks necessary to appear that they, in fact, avenged our precision military strike that took out the number one terrorist in the world.
Moving forward here, as you saw, the president went before the cameras earlier this morning, and he seemed to lower the temperature a little bit. I mean, he started by saying, listen, Iran will never have a nuclear weapon, but then he said we're keeping all of our options available, but the option he's choosing right now is increased sanctions, economic issues, economic sanctions that would be applied here. And that seems to be taking the military temperature down. Do you think that that's wise? Is that the way we need to go? Or is this the moment that all of this sort of has to come to a head militarily?
No, I don't think this is the right time for us to go ahead militarily and strike Iran. We're no in position. We the U.S. military is in no position to do that. Or as a nation, are we prepared to bite off more than we can chew? I think that what the president did was last night, clearly when you had the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of the State, the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, when they all left, I think they were getting the initial battle damage assessments. They knew what had happened, and they decided, okay, it's like I said last night, this was a prime opportunity that rather than reacting and playing out of the Mullah's handbook, they're now playing out of ours, because we're the ones that made the decision not to continue the fight. We're the ones that chose to dial it back. In other words, now we control the game board. We're the ones that sit there and are calling the shots as to what we're going to do militarily. We gave everyone an opportunity to de-escalate or have what they call that off-ramp on the road to war. Mm. And I think at the end of the day, it served everyone's purposes to do that. We are not prepared right now as a country to go to war with Iran. That said, there is one big question out there, and that is Iran right now is continuing to pursue activities that are commensurate with gaining a nuclear weapon. And at the end of the day, they are now where North Korea was 15 years ago. North Korea is now on the cusp of having ballistic missile technology and nuclear warheads that can threaten the continental United States. We cannot allow Iran to have that. What are we willing to do? What are our allies willing to do? And what are we all willing to do as the world to prevent Iran from gaining that capability and threatening not only the Middle East, but Europe, and then eventually the United States? That hard question is going to have to be asked and answered, because we can't just pretend like it isn't going to happen.
As you look at this dynamic here, one of the things that we talked to Bob Baer, I'm sure you're familiar with him, formerly of the CIA, yesterday, and one of the issues that he brought up, and obviously, with, you know, as a former commander of the USS Cold during that bombing, Commander, you are familiar with all of the dynamics in the region and how important the sea traffic, the water traffic, is to get oil through tankers, through the Straits of Hormuz and other places there that are always in conflict, and that, you know, the Iranians want to shut down, the Saudis want to keep open, and that, you know, all of that is clearly the strategic focus of what goes on here militarily. So my question is, as Bob Baer mentioned to us yesterday, one of the fears, one of the things that's on the decision tree at the Pentagon about this, is the Iranians do have, and as you mentioned earlier, they have the capability of throwing these missiles at Saudi Arabia and taking their oil offline. And if they were to do that, that would create an economic crisis around the globe. Do you think that's possible?
I think it's possible, but at this point, I think it's improbable. There is really nothing driving the Iranian regime to have to do that. They would have nothing to gain by it other than that would unify the world against them. Right now, they're still banking on the fact that they still, to a certain degree, have the Europeans, who are desperately trying to keep the JCPOA, the Joint Comprehensive Plan of Action, or Iran Nuclear Agreement, alive. And so they're not going to do anything that is going to turn the world against them. They're more than happy to continue to aggravate the United States, but they now understand the new dynamic when it comes to whether they should or should not kill Americans, because clearly there is going to be a response under this president. So, I mean, obviously the Navy has got more than adequate capability to keep the Strait of Hormuz open. We already have experience, albeit several decades ago, where we had the tanker wars, where we were ensuring that there was a free flow of all the tankers going in and out of the Middle East during the Iran-Iraq war. So we have experience there. We have other nations that are helping us. But here's one of the great things for the United States. When you look at the fact that we have been able to become energy independent, in other words, we no longer rely on that Middle East oil, that means it's not as much of a strategic imperative for us to have forces there to safeguard oil, other than we don't want to see the world's economy disrupted because of the effect it'll have on our economy.
Exactly.
So being energy independent is huge for us. And I think a lot of these people, while we want to go green, we're working toward that. We're never going to wean off of oil immediately as much as they might like to.
Yeah.
But having that energy independence gave us tremendous flexibility in this case.
Commander, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. It's always an honor to talk to you. Commander Kirk Lippold, who was the commander of the USS Cole when it was attacked back in 2000 by Al-Qaeda. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. And thank you to your listeners for supporting those young men and women who continue to serve and defend our nation.
Thank you, sir. I agree completely and wholeheartedly. All right. We have got news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom coming your way right around the corner. And then stay tuned. I know I'm talking a little ahead here. We got Connor Murphy coming up, our private Black Hawk. He's going to be joining us in the 4 o'clock hour. And then there will be a top five at five you won't believe. And this one has, this one I actually can guarantee.